Hollywood, the CBS Radio Workshop.
I don't care what you say. I say he keeps a canary in that cage.
That's my wife, Jacqueline. Jackie, for short. A woman of firm opinions.
And I say, leave that cage alone, do you hear?
That's Mr. Henchard, our boarder. A man of similar firm convictions. Me? My name's Eddie. And I say, I don't care what kind of a bird he keeps in the cage, so long as he pays the rent.
The CBS Radio Workshop, dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind, presents Housing Problem. An unlikely story, but the kind of story you're not likely to hear anywhere else except on the workshop. Housing Problem, an experiment with your imagination. Adapted by Sam Pierce from the short story by Henry Kuttner. Produced and directed by William N. Robeson.
My wife, Jackie, and I both work. We have to keep up the house payments. And we couldn't make ends meet even then if it weren't for the rent Mr. Henchard pays us for the back room. So, naturally, we were pretty worried when he announced one night.
I gotta leave town for a while.
Oh.
You're giving up the room?
I'm doing nothing of the sort.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm quite willing to keep paying the rent while I'm gone, providing...
Providing what, Mr. Henchard?
Providing I can count on you two to cooperate.
Why, of course, Mr. Henchard.
Oh, whatever you say.
I'll be gone about a week. Some property of mine up north needs tending to... I don't like to leave my birdcage behind, but I can't take it with me on a bus.
Oh, we'll be more than glad to take care of it.
That's just what I don't want you to do. Don't go near it. Don't touch it. Don't remove the cover.
But the canary, it'll starve.
Canary. Canary, you listen to me. I'll leave plenty of food and water. You just keep hands off. That's how you cooperate. Stay away from that birdcage, understand?
Yes, Mr. Henchard.
But I don't understand.
You heard me. Keep your hands off that cage.
Yes, Mr. Henchard.
The next night, when Jackie and I got back from work, Mr. Henchard was gone, but the cage was still there in the middle of his room, sitting on a pedestal, shrouded by a flowered cretonne cover.
Eddie, we promise.
Well, we're staying away from it, aren't we? We didn't promise not to look at it.
Hey, Eddie, there's a note pinned on the cover.
Yeah.
Well, what's it say?
How do you like this? It says... Mind now, don't touch this cage.
Honestly, you'd think we were a couple of kids or something.
Just for that, I'd like to yank the cover off the silly thing and... What was that?
It came from the cage.
Doesn't sound like any bird I ever heard.
Sounds like someone moving furniture. And opening a bottle.
Champagne for the canaries, no doubt.
Oh, Eddie.
You don't think we ought to just peek? Under the cover.
No, I don't. I think we ought to tiptoe out of here and go to bed.
Okay. But I'd still like to see what kind of a bird it is that can open a champagne bottle. Next day, that silly birdcage was so much on my mind, I nearly fed my hand into the planing mill down at the plant. Jackie admitted the same kind of trouble. Her shorthand went way off and her typing fell below 50 words a minute while she worried about Mr. Henchard's bird. I guess it was really plain curiosity, but we rationalized it into concern.
Eddie, it's got to be thirsty by now.
With all that champagne?
Well, hungry maybe.
Maybe. Of course, I'm not exactly a bird lover, but... I'd hate to think of a poor little feathered creature dying of hunger when I could do anything to save it.
Oh, darling, you have a great heart.
Oh? It's nothing, really. Mm. It's just the way I feel about things.
Well, then we'd better make sure.
Yes. Yes, I think we should.
We'll share the responsibility.
Yes, together.
You lift the cover and I'll take a quick look.
We'll both lift the cover and we'll both take a quick look.
All right. You take that end and I'll take this.
Ready?
One.
Two.
Three.
It's a house. A perfect little doll's house. What was that noise?
It sounded like shades being pulled down. Eddie, it was a shade. I saw it snap shut on that tiny little window there.
There are lights in the house.
Oh, Eddie, the little green shutters, the white woodwork.
But what's inside there?
I never heard of a canary that could pull down shades.
Oh, this is crazy.
Eddie, look, at the chimney.
Smoke. There's smoke coming out of it.
The canaries are cooking.
Oh, something is cooking, but who says it's a canary? Who says it's any kind of a bird?
But what else could it be? It's a bird cage.
It's a house in a bird cage. A perfect little house down to the very last detail. Look, look, there's a doormat and a tiny little doorbell.
Ring it.
Ring it?
The doorbell. Ring it.
How am I going to ring a doorbell on a house that's inside a bird cage? I can't get my finger through those bars. Cage is soldered to the stand.
Well, maybe you could use a pencil.
Pencil, sure, good idea. Here. Now, let's see if I can get the tip through the bars and against the doorbell button. That's about it. Mm-hmm. Now, push it.
Eddie!
I don't think they're going to answer it.
Well, they must be such little things.
Things?
Birds or whatever lives in that house.
Well, they won't come to the door. Let's see if we can poke the pencil in a window and have a look inside.
Be careful, Eddie.
I think now if I can get my eye up against the cage here, I can see through the... Ouch!
Eddie!
The bright flashed at me like a flashlight right in my eye, like a tiny beam of light from a flashlight.
Eddie, let's go. Let's leave them alone, whatever they are.
I'd like to take that cage apart.
Oh, no, Mr. Henshaw.
Well, when he gets back, I'm going to ask him a few questions. He can't keep pixies. It isn't in the lease.
He doesn't have a lease.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I suppose we better leave it alone. We need the money he pays us, that's for sure.
And whatever it is that lives in the cage hasn't bothered us up to now.
Yeah. Let's cover it up and turn in. Maybe they'll be in a friendlier mood tomorrow.
Listen.
Yeah. Boy, whatever that is, it's out of tune.
I think you've heard its feelings. They're turning out all the lights.
Jackie had nightmares all night. I know, because I didn't sleep a wink. So, the next morning, we decided on a quick look before we went to work. Now, let's be real quiet. Maybe we can sneak up on them.
You think they'll be leaving for work, too?
What kind of work? Painting buttercups? Now, be quiet, and I'll get the cover off.
Okay. Look! One of the window shades is up, and the window's open.
Now, maybe I can see inside this morning. I can just get up close enough. I think I can see it.
Eddie, what is it?
An eye. A great big bloodshot eye staring back at me.
Let me see. Eddie, it's a little mirror.
A mirror?
Yes, a little mirror hanging on a wall. And that was your eye looking back at you.
Well, it didn't look like my eye. It was bloodshot.
Well?
Very funny.
Eddie, look, on the porch.
It's a milk bottle.
And it's purple.
Purple milk?
From a purple cow, maybe.
Oh, cut it out. Hey, is that a newspaper there beside it?
It looks like one.
Let me see if I can make out the printing on it. Looks like a headline. It's in red and it says, Extra, Fatspa moves on tur.
Fatspa moves on tur? What kind of talk is that?
Pixie talk, no doubt. Fatspa moves on tur. I'm going to buy me a magnifying glass today. I'd like to read the rest of that paper. I don't know how Jackie and I got through that day at work, but somehow we did. And that night, we didn't even wait to get our coats off before we went in to see the cage. I heard the sound before Jackie did.
Eddie, listen.
Music. And it's good music, too.
But it sounds so little.
Well, what else? They're little people.
It stopped.
They must have heard us. Let's get the cover off. No lights, windows shut, and the blinds drawn.
The milk and the paper's gone, too.
Yeah, yeah. Wait a minute.
Is that a sign on the door?
I can't make it out. It's so tiny.
I'll use my new magnifying glass. Quarantine. Scoppy fever.
Scoppy fever?
Why, the little liars. I'll bet they don't have scoppy fever at all.
You only get scoppy fever in April, don't you?
April and Christmas. That's when the bread and butterflies carry it. Where's my pencil? I'm going to ring the bell again.
They're not going to answer. There go the shades.
Pretty snooty, if you ask me. After all, it's our house. Their house is in, if you follow me.
I wish we could just see them. Just one little look at them, whatever they are.
Well, I'll try one more thing. I'll write them a note.
On what?
On the door, like this. Let us in. There.
But we don't want to get in. We just want to see them.
Well, they'll know what we mean. Now, let's leave them alone, and maybe in the morning they'll have an answer for us.
Eddie, the quarantine sign's gone.
Oh, there's another one on the door. They've answered us. They've written us a note.
Oh, read it, read it.
Wait till I get my magnifying glass. There. It's printed on a little card. WETPAINT.
Wet paint. I knew you shouldn't have written on the door. They've gone and repainted it. They're neat little things, whatever they are.
Wet paint, indeed.
There's more milk on the porch. Green milk this time and another newspaper.
Yeah. Let's see what the headlines are today. Extra. Fatspa overshoots Tur. Huh. What kind of news is that?
Well, I don't know, but I think we'd better cover the cage, Eddie. I think we've bothered them enough. We don't want them to get mad at us. They might blab to Mr. Henchard and get us in trouble.
You sound as though you thought they could talk.
Well, who says they can't? They can read, they can write, so they can talk.
The next few days were like nightmares. We'd pretend to be working all day, and then at night we'd immediately go into Mr. Henchard's room and uncover the cage. And always there would be smoke coming out of the chimney and smells of cooking and the sounds of dinner preparations in the evening. And every morning, new bottles of milk, different color each day, blue, red, yellow, and the newspaper headlines. Extra, Tur slides toward Fatspa. Extra, Fatspa goes up. There were even tiny little letters in the mailbox. And one morning there was a telegram. Oh, but we couldn't get to them. Day after day, we tried to see inside the little house, but always it was the same. When we took the cover off the birdcage, the noises would stop. The shades would snap shut, the lights would go out, and nothing was left but the lazy spiral of smoke from the tiny brick chimney. Then one night, Jackie and I had it out.
But what would Mr. Henchard say?
Oh, I don't care. I've got to find out what goes on in that house. My work's going all to pot.
I know, Eddie. I filed a letter today that I was supposed to mail.
I almost welded my thumb to a wing section. Heck with Mr. Henchard. Let's go in and find out what lives in that cage, even if we have to melt it down with a blowtorch.
Sure is quiet in here tonight.
I'll get the light.
I'll get the cover off. Oh, no. Eddie.
What is it?
Look, on the front door.
It's a sign. A big sign.
For rent. It says for rent. Oh, Eddie, they've moved out.
They sure left the house clean. Look inside there. The floors are polished, the walls are scrubbed, but the furniture's gone and the window shades.
Oh,
shades.
Eddie, what are we going to do? What are we going to say when Mr. Henchard comes home?
Well, we didn't have long to wait. The very next night, Mr. Henchard blew in like a blast of cold air, went directly to his room, and blew back out again considerably hotter.
Busybodies, Pryors, I told you not to touch the cage.
Oh, Mr. Henchard.
I told you to leave it alone. Oh, no, not you two. You had to fool around with it.
Oh, Mr. Henchard, we only thought they might be thirsty.
You only thought you had to stick your noses into somebody else's business. That's what you thought. Well, you've done it. You've ruined the whole thing. They've gone, moved out, lock, stock, and barrel. They've moved, and I'm moving, too.
Oh, Mr. Henchard, we're so sorry.
Sorry? It took me months to build that little house to their exact specifications, and months more to coax them to live in it. Now you spoiled it. They won't be back.
Who won't be back?
My tenants. I'll have to build a new house now. But this time I won't leave it within the reach of meddlers.
Mr. Henchard, are you a magician?
Magician? I'm a craftsman. A mighty good one. That's all it takes. You treat them right, and they'll treat you right. It isn't everybody who knows how to build the right sort of house for them.
But
Who are they?
Who are they? You mean, who are they? Little folk, of course. Call them what you like. Nixies, pixies, leprechauns, brownies. They got lots of names. But all they want is a quiet, respectable neighborhood to live in. Not a lot of peeping and prying. Give the property a bad name. No wonder they moved out. And they always pay the rent on time, too.
Rent?
Luck. Good luck. What do you expect to pay in money?
But luck? There's no such thing as luck, Mr. Hensher. That's a superstition.
Superstition? Ha, ha, ha! Hey, you remember when I kicked that boulder loose and it fell in the wooden steps we was going down at the beach that day?
I remember.
Boulder hit the step below me, went clear through. The wood was so rotten. I'd have broke my neck if I'd stepped in it.
Oh, that's right.
Things like that happen to me all the time. That's luck. That's the little people paying their rent. And now you've ruined it. Goodbye.
Oh, wait, you're forgetting your cage.
You can keep it. Keep the house, too. No decent folk will live in it now. You've ruined it.
Watch those steps, Mr. Hancher.
Friars, meddlers.
Oh, Eddie, his luck has left him already.
Yeah. Boy, that was a nasty fall.
Eddie, take me down to Moriarty's for a nightcap, will you? I feel terrible. I still feel terrible.
Yeah. The nightcap didn't help much. Let's turn in. It's late.
Shall we take a last look at the cage?
Can't hurt anything. Come on.
Eddie, listen.
They're back. The house is rented again.
And they're having a party. Eddie, they're happy in there.
Funny, we're in. We've got the house and we've got the tenants in it.
Maybe we'll have the luck that goes with them. Maybe they'll pay us the rent now.
Yeah, but we won't bother them anymore.
We'll leave them alone.
We'll never peek or pry again.
And if they're happy, they'll probably stay on for always. Oh, Eddie, this is wonderful.
The next day, I felt almost like my old self, even though we had lost our roomer. We had new tenants in the little house, and it was ours now, all ours. It was just before quitting time. I was working on the big metal planer when I heard somebody yell,
Eddie! Look out for that long arm! Behind you, Eddie! Look out!
It's pushing me into the planer, Mike!
Eddie! You all right? Yeah, yeah, I think so. What stopped the planer, Mike? It was right on me. I thought it was going to slice me up like a cold cut.
It was one of those cylinder casings that fell into the planer and jammed it just as you reached the blade. I never saw nothing like it in my life. Oh, boy, what luck.
Luck. Luck, Mike, that's it. It's luck. Good luck. They're paying their rent already.
They're what?
They're paying their rent in luck. Oh, boy, wait till I tell Jackie about this. Imagine those wonderful little guys, Jackie. Saved my life and they've only been in the house one day.
It was a miracle, Eddie. You could have been killed.
Yeah, yeah. Any other time, the planer would have gone right on slicing and I'd have gone into it. You know what I've been thinking?
No, what?
I ought to write them a note of thanks. Let them know I'm grateful.
We promised we'd leave them alone, Eddie.
Oh, but this would be different. I just lift up the cover on the cage and slip the note in and cover it up again. It couldn't hurt anything.
Well, I don't know.
Matter of fact, I've already written the note. Oh, come on. Come on. Let's take it into them.
You won't try to mess around with
them.
Oh,
I promise. Anyway, who messed around with them before? Just me?
I know. Come on.
What's going on in there?
Sounds like the same party they were having last night.
Only it's bigger and louder. Come on, let's get the cover off.
Eddie, look!
Bottles. Empty bottles all over the porch and garbage pails.
Scattered all over the place and, ooh, smell the smoke coming out of the chimney.
It smells like corned beef and skunk cabbage. Jackie, what have we got in there?
Well, they're certainly not the same class of tenants Mr. Henchard had.
That's it, that's it. He said the place would run down.
He said he'd have to build a new house to get the decent kind of tenants. Oh, Eddie, what have we done?
We've inherited the Jeter Lesters, the Jukes and the Kallikaks. The place looks like Tobacco Road.
When there's even a clothesline stretched across the front window.
Well, that does it.
I'm not going to put up with sloppy tenants. I'll pour water down the chimney and send them all packing.
Eddie, you can't.
I can and I will. There's no reason for us to put up with this kind of nonsense.
But there is a reason, Eddie. Don't you remember? They pay their rent.
You mean the planer?
You would have been killed today if you hadn't had some extra luck. Some extra good luck. These pixies may be sloppy, but they pay their rent.
You're right, honey. You're absolutely right. I fall in the planer and the cylinder casing jams it in time. But I'll be out of work for a week while they fix it. But Mr. Henchard's luck worked all the way. If he'd have fallen in a planer, a fuse would have blown, and he'd have been back at work the next day on full salary.
Okay, okay, so Mr. Henchard had a better class of tenant. Ours are sloppy, so our luck will be a little sloppy, too, but they stay. They stay here if they have the wildest parties in town.
Oh, you're right. We own a slum, but it's better than nothing. Let's go down to Moriarty's for a drink. I think we need it.
Ain't a fit night out for man or beast.
How about Pixie?
Oh.
I wonder what Moriarty would say if we told him about our tenants.
He probably 86's and throws out of the place.
Stand back, honey. The bus is coming by. Might splash mud on
us. He's coming awfully fast for a wet night.
I'll say he is, the crazy idiot.
Jackie, jump and stay quiet!
You all right?
Yeah. I think so. How did he ever miss us?
Caught his skid at the last minute.
Oh.
Pure luck.
Pure luck? And us sitting here with mud all over us?
We may be muddy, but we're alive. Come on. Let's get into Moriarty's.
Oh, boy, can I use a drink.
Right. Two doubles, Moriarty, and fast.
Okay, Eddie. Hey, what happened? You still fall in the mud?
Yeah.
Boy, that's bad luck, kid.
No. You're wrong, Moriarty. Not bad luck. Good luck. Sloppy, but good.
You're so right, honey. Well, here's luck.
The CBS Radio Workshop has presented Housing Problem, a play for radio by Sam Pierce, adapted from the short story by Henry Kuttner. Shirley Mitchell was heard as Jackie, Shepard Menken as Eddie, and Dawes Butler as Mr. Henchard, Mike, and Moriarty. The original score was composed and conducted by Leo Diamond. Sound patterns by Ray Kemper and Gus Bays. Next week, from New York, the workshop will present Norman DeLoGioia's Pulitzer Prize-winning composition, Meditations on Ecclesiastes, with Edward R. Murrow, Father Lawrence McGinley, Rabbi Theodore L. Adams, Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Senator John Kennedy, and a 55-piece string orchestra conducted by Alfredo Antonini. This is the CBS Radio Network.